But this time it's taken. Oh, hey, spoke too soon. Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in to the BAMF podcast. I am your host, Mike Lafferty, and we're here today with frequent guest, Mr. Ed Jowett. How you doing, Ed?
Hi. Yeah, no, I'm great. I'm great. Great to be back, as always.
It's always a pleasure to have you, sir. And we have freaking co-host on hand, Walt Rebilliard. How you doing, Walt?
I'm just afraid that Ed brings a level of respectability to the show. I do not.
I don't think anyone's ever said that to me before, ever.
You have to keep in mind we're here in the benighted colonies. And we just hear the British accent and we're like, oh, he's civilized.
And smart.
Oh, is that how it works? Is that how? Oh, right. Okay. I'll remember that one. Yeah.
I don't think you understand how much social capital that accent would get you across the pond, but just keep it in mind next time you get over here. And today, we're talking about lots of things, audiobooks, fiction writing, and this is precipitated by Ed has a new Kickstarter. I know it's a podcast and we're doing Kickstarter promotion. What the hell? How'd that happen? Why aren't we talking to poets or origami artists? But no, we're talking about Ed has a Titan's Rise, a cyberpunk full cast audio drama. And this is the first time I've never encountered this before. I know, Walt, you do audio for some of your novels, and you do that as a side hustle for other science fiction novelists. But I've never heard of, this is like the old fashioned BBC radio dramas, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Okay, yeah, if you're not like big on audio, like right now, audio is exploding as far as the literary world. Places like Audible and others are just raking in mountains of cash. As you know, the rest of us are like, wait, you can do that? The full cast drama is a thing that you see more in a higher end production, typically, just because of the amount of people, time, especially editing that it takes, because you might have people in separate parts of the world, different sound profiles that have to be filtered out. It's really crazy complicated. But the one that's just like crushing it right now is Vertigo's Sandman did an audio production, and
I've actually been advertised for that one, you know.
Yeah. It's huge, that the cast for that. So I mean, you know, audio is big, but full cast dramas are getting equally so, and there's a lot out there to listen to. And with Audible's new structure, their new tiered payment plan. A lot of this is now available to a lot more people.
Yeah,
it's a brave new world. And James McAvoy is Morpheus. How about that?
Right, Andy Serkis, who's the guy who played Golem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got Taron Egerton, or Egerton, however you say his name. He's playing Constantine. He's the guy who played in The Kingsman.
How is Benedict Cumberbatch not in here?
I don't know.
That's a grievous oversight on someone's part.
But yeah, so yeah, audio dramas are making a big comeback because of the fact that you can now get the production values of more than just you know, welcome to the 1920s, where the voices all sound like somebody pinched your throat in a vice. But, you know, the other thing, oh, go ahead, please.
Oh, I was just, excuse my momentary absence. I had a day job thing going on, but yeah, I love the transatlantic accent, and now True Believers, I love that shit. But yeah, it's hokey, and we're actually doing high quality, you know, ones that are not cheesy to listen
to. Well, you can get high quality for that too. I mean, look at the Star Wars, the Clone Wars for years.
Mm.
You know, in the beginning of that, you know, every time it was in a galaxy fueled by war, you know, and it wasn't so like high pitch. It had that middle range to it. And that's the thing that you're seeing now in audio dramas and audio productions as well, is people have a wider range as far as what they can do with their voices. It's not just
that's very true. Yeah.
Yeah.
True. That I ended up working with a whole bunch of voice actors. So for anyone who's a fan of this sort of thing, or indeed a fan of this is the first of, shall we say, several that I've had recorded, and I've worked with some really amazing voice actors. There was actually one guy who could literally, we just captured one recording and he could pitch his voice in two places at the same time.
How does that work? That's crazy.
I don't even know. Like, it's like, whoa, hang on, mind blown, you know? We had some people do sort of some villains. I adapted some of our comics that you and I have spoken before about before, Mike. And I adapted some of the comics, and I got, you know, some people to do some villains, and we've got this sort of raspy, lizardy villain that was played by Adam Durgeman. Fantastic voice actor. Did a really amazing job. The editor's just been going over it over the last few days, and she did just say, it's terrifying, you know? Just the way that you can set the scene of a character, you know, set everything you need to know about a character just with the voice when you're an expert. And I should say, sadly, I am nowhere near as expert as that. You know, when a voice actor just walks in and goes, okay, I'm ready, and then throws out something that just builds the picture of what it is before you even get started, it's truly incredible.
So this Kickstarter is doing awfully well. You've been running for just a few days and you're almost to goal.
That's right.
Can you tell our listeners and viewers a little bit about what they're actually buying and signing up for? What are they backing if they jump?
I would absolutely love to. So A Titan's Rise, it's our friend there right in the middle of that image. That's Elliot Dragon. And people who already know Era of the Consortium will know who he is. And anyone who doesn't know Era of the Consortium in a fair bit of detail won't know who he is, which works for me, to be honest. I'm not actually going to tell you guys. Elliot Dragon.
It's safe to say it's friendly for people new to your setting.
Oh, it's very friendly. In fact, I might argue that you get a completely different perspective based on whether you know who he is or you don't know who he is. So, you know, you could listen to it the first time, go all the way through, you know, get to the end and have sort of a perspective on who he is and the way he is. And then you could go away, read the Era of the Consortium core rulebook or the Definitive Edition rulebook, find out who this character really is, and then you could listen again and you'd have a completely different perspective on most of the events and the way in which everything played out. Which I think is absolutely brilliant. I mean, that proves that the character that we showed is not bound to one thing or another. And that really is what the story is all about. It's about the ability to choose your own path when everything around you is trying to influence who you are, what you can do, who you can be, who you can become. And Elliot is an extremely intelligent individual who fights back when someone tells him, no, you can't do that, in whatever way he can. He doesn't believe that his future should be determined by anyone other than himself, basically. And as you go through, we follow him. So it's four episodes. Each is about 20 minutes long. And as we go through, we start with Elliot as a young man, a very young man, a boy, really. He's 10 years old in the first episode at the beginning. The first episode actually runs through about a year and a half of his life. And he's separated from his parents. It, you know, something very simple that happens to people at some point in their life, no matter what. But you know, this 10-year-old, there is an act of law by the Senate, and the Senate says, okay, people can't live in this area of this planet anymore. They have to leave. And Elliot's family is affected by this. He's forced to leave. His parents manage to get enough money together to send him to the home, to send him to the home world of a consortium, a planet called Tyrannus. His mother is hoping that he'll be able to become whatever he wants. She's trying to open all the doors and give him all the opportunities to do whatever he can imagine, whatever he wants. And because they can't all go, his parents go to another planet called Verbea, which is literally just an industrial planet. Nothing else but industry. There is literally nothing else going on there. And that leaves him entirely alone. So he then has to figure out, you know, what is it that I, you know, what is it that I'm going to do? What am I going to be? How am I going to grow up? And, you know, we see him go to school on Tyrannus. We see him interact with other pupils and teachers. He's suddenly a handful, I think it's fair to say. Not helped by the fact there are some themes that we worked into this episode. Sort of, he was on a ship for 3 months from where he left Aron to Tyrannus. And during that time, he was surrounded by adults who'd all been displaced. You know, they'd been displaced specifically for another alien race. So, you know, they were using, I guess, what the equivalent of racial slurs would be. So he turns up on Tyrannus and he's using these racial slurs, these xenophobic slurs, because it's his normal now. You know, he's heard this for 3 months. He figures, oh, that's the way people behave. And then when his teacher's like, oh, we don't say that word in this classroom, you know, he's like, oh, sorry. You know, it just never occurred to him. So he had loads of opportunity to kind of play with what happens when a child is displaced, has no authority figure in their life. He basically goes and lives at an orphanage, a children's home. He has no authority figure in his life anymore, apart from maybe whoever runs the home. And he is clearly very lost in this episode. And then the second episode, we actually jump about, I don't know, maybe 6 to 8 years forward in time. And he's found himself a little bit. You know, he knows who he is. He knows what he can do. He knows where he's going. And he makes a decision that what he's going to do is follow a particular career path. And we follow a few decisions that he makes that maybe, you know, in this episode, and Amy Allwarden, who wrote some of the original stories for Elliot Dragon in the Era of the Consortium core rulebook, she said it really well in an interview that recently went up on the Kickstarter. Every time he makes a decision, particularly in this episode, I think, you think to yourself, would I have made that same decision? You know, do I think this was an error, a mistake? Was that one there? You just passed it.
Is that one we can see if we're not backers?
I'm afraid it's not actually. No, if you're not a backer, you don't get the extra content for that one. No. But you know, would you make the same decision if you were in the situation? You know, where does the pursuit of, you know, high academic grades go relative to various other factors that are going on? So I am the voice of Elliot Dragon. I haven't said that on the stream yet. I play the voice of Elliot Dragon. And I'll be honest, some of these scenes were really hard for me, because he does some fairly questionable things. And getting myself into the right mindset to really reach, you know, delivering that in a way that's convincing was actually quite challenging.
So what do you do as far as like preparation before you guys start recording? And are you recording in separate locations or are you guys all in the same place?
So I am the director as well. So I generally insist that what we do is that any character that has dialogue must be recorded in the same place as the other characters who have dialogue. Now this is, it's quite long. And as you said, it's sort of quite a lot of separate characters. So we did a lot of juggling about who was where to record when and so on. And getting everyone aligned and so on. It took about a month to record this, of sort of picking the right evenings and so on. And, so everyone was recording in the same place. And actually in this room that I'm talking in right now, is where we recorded. I've got a kind of temporary booth that I can set up. And what do I do to prepare for it? It was one of the biggest challenges for me because I don't really consider myself a voice actor. The rest of the cast and crew convinced me that I was the right person to play the role. So, you know, I played the role and I did my best. And I think really it came out very well. But getting into that mindset, there are certainly times in Elliot's life where there are some very dark things that happen. And trying to reach that place can be really challenging. The only thing that helped me is I wrote the script. I wrote or co-wrote or at the very least edited all of the stories that make up Elliot's history. Excuse me, sorry, I'm hiccuping now. I wrote or co-wrote or edited all of the stories that make up Elliot's history. So I kind of had a good idea of who he is and where he's coming from. And given that I was also the director, you know, I had the ability to say, okay, look, this is the point of this scene. This is the thing we're trying to achieve. And to know with certainty that that's what I was going for, which was hugely useful to me. There are certainly voice actors who, in this production, who did a fantastic job with a lot less knowledge of what everything was all about. And I have no end of respect for people like Kerry, who came in quite late and just voiced some of the characters for us and just went ahead and just sort of did it. But I think without the, shall we say, the background reading, I think I really would have floundered quite badly. And obviously, I wrote Elliot Draken's first stories 5-6 years before I recorded. So, you know, I've had a very long time to get to know the character. He really is quite core to the universe. He's quite important. So that's really very, very useful. And I think I kind of slipped in the back door, if I'm completely honest, of how I could reach the right place for Elliot.
Now, how did you select the rest of the cast? And did you kind of try and match voices to characters, or did were these people that you know and you were like, hey, we got to do this?
A little from column A and a little from column B. Because of who the characters are within the whole thing, some of them, you know, they're pretty well defined characters, and some of them are very undefined characters. Thankfully, because everything had already been written but not actually voiced in the past, there was not very much preconception about what a character sounds like. So, you know, when we had to cast Janelle, who is Elliot's girlfriend, in the second episode, on the left of that image there, next to Elliot, Janelle, we actually played with a whole bunch of possibilities. So, there are only five of us, actually, in the end, who recorded. It was initially only going to be four, and then Kerry turned up and said, oh, I'll do some stuff, and did a great job. But with me playing Elliot, I was really out of the mix to do much else. There was Leo Kosh, who played all of the other male voices. And Leo's great because he's a bit of a chameleon. He's very good at doing sort of different accents and so on. And it really doesn't come across immediately just how many parts were played by the same person, particularly in Leo's case. Hulda, who played...
How's your ability for accents?
Oh, it's awful. It's awful. Actually, I was running a game for Gen Con. Given it was online, I decided I'd run a role-playing game for the group. And I very, very foolishly tried an American accent of some sort, and everyone was American, and they died laughing.
Oh,
they
I just, gotta hear this.
I just,
come on.
No way, man. No way.
Well, you know, there's the Midwestern accent, which everyone thinks of, then there's the West Coast, East Coast.
It was more Boston. Of an attempt at Texas, and it was bad. It was very, very bad, and no.
Okay, all right.
I did one other voice that I that is in any of these four episodes. I did just one very brief sergeant, because in the third episode, Elliot goes and he trains to be part of the military. His dream is to become a starship captain. And he goes to become part of the military, and we have a montage of various characters saying things, and I just did a "come on, you lot," so sort of like a just like a drill sergeant yelling. I did some officer training some years ago, and I'm quite used to being yelled at for various reasons.
You know, you're the way you're yelling, as far as a drill sergeant might, and the way that I remember my drill sergeant seems to be a little different. Yours sounds more polite.
Well, the line does go, "Come on, you lot, give this all you got. If you don't, what was it? If you don't get the hang of this, you deserve to be killed by some sloppy criminal."
There you go. That's a little better.
Yeah, right. So I hadn't quite got to the end of it. but yeah, I mean, that was literally the only other voice I did. And actually, you know, it's funny because, Leo gave it a go and his accent for that was so atrocious that the rest of the cast just said, no, Leo, I'm sorry. We've apparently reached the line. You can't do that voice. We'll have Ed do it. It's fine.
Yeah, we've been listening to so many books lately over here just because of you know, everything going on, you know. And it's funny because like some people can really, really, really nail an accent.
Yeah.
And then some people, you know, will attempt it. And you gotta applaud their creativity.
You gotta applaud the attempt, but so Leo actually had some experience beforehand because we did an entire audio drama. Not an audio drama, we did an entire audio book prior to this. Which is actually, I can't remember if I've ever spoken to Banff before about Era Survival.
I think we've had you on a couple times. The big memory I have is that sci-fi series that you were doing the RPG for.
A battleship game.
Battlecruiser Alamo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've actually produced 10 game lines over the last 6 years. And there is an audio book that we'd done that Leo had narrated. And we knew from that he was very, very good at doing a variety of accents because he did the narration, he did the, you know, all of the character voices in various different accents. And literally, we'd just throw out an accent and he'd go and figure it out. Yeah, that's Battlecruiser Alamo there. Special thanks to Richard Tung. Can't do that without mentioning him. He put a huge amount of work into that book as well. He's also the author of the original books it was based on. And there's an audio book that Leo and I had done that is the sort of the entire stories from Era Survival, which is a post-apocalyptic survival horror universe, zombies and parasites and all the rest of it. So I already knew what he was capable of doing, and you know, to then have him come and do this full cast audio drama stuff was really exciting. And then we brought on board Heike Privitzer, who actually approached us at a convention because we'd done a panel about audio dramas, about how to write, record, and produce your own audio drama. And she came and spoke to us about it. And she was like, "Oh, well, I'd love to get involved." And she's also fantastic. I've dropped a link in our chat there for the audiobook, if that's useful.
Yeah, in a sec, I'll get that up.
Yeah. So Heike came on board. She's a great voice actress. Just really, really good. Nice and versatile. She played one of the characters that was sort of very major, and then a bunch of minor characters. And Hulda was, I can't even remember how we got hold of Hulda. I want to say she was sort of a sort of Facebook contact for Leo, maybe via someone else. She is a stage actress. At the time, she was just coming towards the end of her time in stage school. And she, again, has, you know, a really nice versatility in terms of what she could do and who she could play. So, again, we had her play Elliot's mother, and we had her play a few other major characters. And then everyone just kind of mucked in for the minor characters. There was one individual who's the audio editor and also the composer for this, because we also have unique music for the entire thing, uniquely composed for A Titan's Rise, actually while listening to the scenes that were already cut together. And Zulian was just there listening to the production, sort of getting an idea during one of our recording sessions when she happened to be free. And she actually stepped in and she played the headmistress of Elliot's school at the end of the first episode. So, you know, everyone just kind of mucked in and we all did the absolute best we could for everything that needed doing, because it was one of those things where, you know, you start off and you write a script and you think, okay, well, you know, it's long. It's sort of 100 odd pages, and we're going to record this script, and here's how we're going to achieve that. And Tales of the Outlands, that was kind of just like there was some additional stories in the that's an expansion for the original game, Era Survival, again read by Leo. And we did a couple of shorts with Declaration, the Bug War number one. That's one of the first ones. We've actually got six more of those coming that are all currently in editing at the moment. Two of them are with two different editors, and then we're trying out a couple of new editors as well on some of the others and see how that goes. And Radio Free Tyrannus was, again, based in the same universe as A Titan's Rise. And the idea was kind of a radio disc jockey kind of person who's sort of saying, oh, look, it's a cyberpunk universe, so all the corporations, they're trying to kill you guys. You know, like you've got implants in your head, and people actually do have implants in their head in this universe. But they can control your implants, and you know, they can make things kill you. And it sits somewhere between paranoid ranting and actually, yes, this is real because it's a cyberpunk universe.
Now,
that was good fun.
Now, have you tried bridging the gap between gaming and audio and literature, much like Starfinder and Pathfinder have done with Amazon's Alexa?
Oh yeah, absolutely. This is all based in the same universe as my Era of the Consortium universe. It's the first universe I ever published, obviously with the exception of the Era Survival stuff, which is based in the Era Survival universe, which is one of the other universes I've published. So all of these things relate, that the way I see it is I create universes, right? And then the role-playing game opens a certain door into that universe, and you can step through, you can sort of explore stuff within there. But then I also create comics, and comics open a window into that universe, and you can look through and you can watch this story and experience this story with these people. And then audio dramas let you open another window. And I think different media has different strengths and opens different windows, because with A Titan's Rise, what you do for the first time is you feel what the Consortium feels like. And to live in the Consortium at this point in the universe, you get, you know, you start getting this feeling that maybe it's actually not that bad to live there for most of the people who live in it, you know? Whereas, obviously, in the role-playing game, you're always going to be either fighting for or against the Consortium, you know, you're going to be doing something that's
right, but
more than just experiencing life.
Yeah, but what I was more going toward was the you talk to some sort of interface device like Google or Alexa, and you are actually playing the game through the spoken interface.
Oh, that's an interesting thought. No, I've not really considered that yet. I'm kind of on the I'm on the low budget end of the spectrum, shall we say. I think Pathfinder and Starfinder have a little bit on me in terms of resources. But there are a lot of things that I've been playing with. I'm actually working on a choose your own adventure game for Era of the Consortium. Which I guess in theory could be hooked up to that and just kind of needs to be thought about. I will bear that in mind. I'll take it away and think about it.
It's kind of, I mean, at the end of the day, it's kind of like a teleprompt when you're calling into customer service. It's like, please say English for English. You know, if you say English, the computer is made to recognize that and go to the next decision tree.
Exactly. Which, yeah,
you could probably pull that.
I mean, at the moment it's just clicking, you know, you click option one, option two, option three or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, as you say, I mean, you have an option to say, oh, hi there, how are you doing? Or you have an option to walk away. And as you say, you just say that to, you know, to Alexa or Google or whatever. Yeah, absolutely. I think it would be possible. I'd have to talk to my code developer. It's not my area of expertise, that sort of thing.
And here for a minute, I thought that my phone and my dog were being nice to me for once. Mike, did you have something to jump in with?
I'm just jealous that Ed has a code developer.
he is a lovely, lovely guy, very passionate guy from Belgium.
Oh.
Who just kind of, I said, look, I've really got to find someone. And he just stepped forward and said, yep, let's work on it. Let's do it for profit share. If you're going to write the whole thing, you're going to give me the artwork for it. And obviously, with the Era of the Consortium role-playing game, I've got loads and loads of artwork that fits really nicely. I'll go ahead and put it all together for you. And I said, yes, definitely, thank you.
getting ready to wrap up, but Ed, you've got this huge, sprawling media empire. We have audiobooks, we have role-playing games, we have novels. What is your end game, sir? Are you looking for a Netflix deal or...
Because they're looking for writers.
I don't know. I don't have an end game so much as I love creating. It is what I live for, what I love doing. And when someone comes to me and says, hey, guys, or hey, Ed, more likely... I really want to make comics, and this person's a member of my team. I go, okay, how do we do this? You know, what do we need to do? How do we achieve it? When someone comes to me and says, I want to do audio dramas, as Leo did, and he said, look, Ed, I want to do more voice acting. I want to do audio dramas. I really think this universe has lots of potential for it. I said, I agree entirely. How do we do that? How do we figure it out? Where do we start? And yeah, I mean, if Netflix are listening and they want to come and offer me some kind of writing deal, I'll talk to them. I think I would absolutely love it if someone came along and wanted to make something out of Era of the Consortium with the kind of budget that I can only dream of. Era of the Consortium is a universe that I've been creating since I was about 7 years old. There is nothing I'd love more to really bring it than to really bring it to life. I don't know that there's such a thing as an end game for me in sight yet. But for now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep making the absolute best stuff I can make. A Titan's Rise is an absolutely worthy addition to that list that you're flicking through right now. You have not shown a book on this stream that I'm not proud of. I have my own bookshelf just there off camera. Of all of the books that I've ever written. And, you know, I'm tremendously proud to have not only written them, but been part of a team that brought it to life with artwork, that contributed some writing, that said, hey, Ed, this doesn't work. Come up with something else. Make this better than it is right now. And that for me, that's key. I am not always right. I don't want to fall into the George Lucas problem with Star Wars Episode 1, where everyone's too scared to say no because I'm me.
Was there a problem with that movie?
Well, apparently so, yes.
Did people not enjoy that one? I hadn't heard about that.
If you look at it from a writing perspective, I always felt that it was that people didn't say no, right? No one was willing to say to this guy who was the guy who created Star Wars and Indiana Jones and all the rest of it, no one was willing to say, no, don't do this. It's a really bad idea, because it's freaking George Lucas, right? But everyone needs someone to say no sometimes.
When he was just George, your buddy, you know, or in case of Maria Lucas, who was the editor and helped script doctor Star Wars, you know, it's just George, my boyfriend / husband, you know, it's a lot easier to say, nah, you're being dumb. Let's not do it this way.
Yeah.
Ed, always a pleasure to talk to you. I will have the Kickstarter link for Titans Rise up in the show notes. Check it out.
You've
got
so
24 days left to back it, and we're just inches away from the goal. So
we are just about £270 away from the goal. That's what's that in dollars?
It's like $5.
$350. Yeah.
Okay.
So we're really close. We've had loads of awesome support. And yeah, if you're watching, you have any questions, hop in at a low tier, ask some questions. Check out the updates that you can only see if you're a backer. I'm putting out updates pretty much every day. We've got loads and loads of content. Leo and I have been talking about what we were going for in every episode, without spoilers, I'm happy to say. There are samples on there. And there are all kinds of awesome rewards. Like, you can even be an actual producer. You can be credited as a producer on the actual audio drama. Or you can get hold of an art book that you've seen all of the beautiful artwork of Era of the Consortium.
You've really got some amazing covers.
Yeah, I mean, I have been absolutely blessed with who was getting involved. So the original Era of the Consortium, Victor Adam Minguez, he moved on to do Magic the Gathering. He's a Magic the Gathering artist now. And I believe I was the last job that he did before he moved on to do that. And, you know, since then, Jonathan Chong, Sophia Michele do all the way through. Just really great people who were so passionate about bringing the consortium to life and making it sing.
Now, just out of curiosity, do you are you mainly doing online for Era of the Consortium, the RPG, or are you more? I noticed that a lot of your books seem to have ISBN numbers, so I'm guessing that means a lot of them are actually in bookshelves.
Absolutely, all of the books are printed.
Okay.
Actually, this cupboard right here contains a whole bunch of goodies for all of our games. All you need to do is hop on the Shades of Vengeance store. And you can buy all of our books in physical or digital format.
Okay, all right. Now, I was just from the RPG angle, I was wondering if you had messed around with distribution, getting into local shops, or if you were just doing from your own web store.
So we are in a few shops. There's one in Australia that carries Era of the Consortium books in particular, also several other things. There's one in the US that does. The name has completely gone. I'm sorry, whoever you are, I should know, and I've forgotten. And there are a couple in England. There's Orc's Nest in London. There are a couple of others dotted around the country that have a few copies of our various books. So you're probably, especially at the moment, you're probably better off going to our web store. I pop it in the mail straight away when I get requests.
Okay.
I've got that pretty well organized after all of the Kickstarters we've done.
All right, sounds good. Ed, it's always a pleasure talking to you, sir. Walt, did you have any final questions?
Yes, I would like to hear the Texas accent.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not becoming a laughing stock on this podcast. You'll never ask for me back.
I think you're assuming a level of dignity we don't really have.
I'm assuming that you are. You know, I want you to continue seeing me as the voice of civilization rather than sort of a pathetic imitator who can't even manage.
If it makes you feel better, I stopped doing accents any games that I run, just because I always seem to turn into a Monty Python sketch after the first couple of sentences. So I just skip it completely. But Ed, it's always great talking to you. Walt, thanks for coming on to co-host. I know it's been a rough week for you.
Ugh.
And to all of our viewers and listeners, we'll catch you next time on the Banff Podcast.
Thank you so much.